So Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Love for enemies. But to you who are listening, this is Jesus speaking, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable: can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Yeah, there's been lots of talk over the last few days of what will, not Prince, but now King Charles be like? How much will he be like Queen Elizabeth II? And already there's been some analysis with his speech that he's given, with the way that he's conducted himself, with the things that he's done in the last couple of days. Is he going to be like the Queen, or will he be different? In our verses today, Jesus speaks to us about a family resemblance that we ought to have. Remember, last week we began this series in Luke chapter 6. It's, if you like, Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Sermon on the Plain. It's hard to know if it's the same occasion that Matthew records or if it's a different one, but there's certainly very similar things being spoken of and taught. Jesus is particularly speaking to his disciples, and he's teaching them about what it means to be one of his disciples. And we saw last week that it means there's a new perspective on life. Do you remember that? The blessings and the woes. And that eternal perspective that we're to have as one of Jesus' people. Well, this week we're going to be thinking about relationships. Our relationships with one another. Our relationships with other people. Perhaps at school or at work or in our wider family or in our street. How are we to relate to other people if we're one of Jesus' disciples? Well, two things we're going to see from this passage. The first is this: treat others as your heavenly Father treats you. Treat others as your heavenly Father treats you. Come back with me to verse 27. Jesus says this: but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. We were thinking last week, weren't we, about how what Jesus was saying was so countercultural, so different to what we might hear from this world. Well, this is the same here, isn't it? It is striking stuff. It's not natural to how our hearts would want to respond. He goes on, verse 29, if someone slaps you on the cheek, if someone did that tonight to you, what is the temptation in our hearts? It's to strike back, isn't it? That might be physical, it might be verbal. But Jesus says, turn to them the other cheek also. And he goes on, if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, take them to court? No. Do not demand it back. This is countercultural. It is counter our sinful natures. We have our rights, don't we? Surely. We need to look after ourselves, don't we? But Jesus says, verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you. And just when in this passage we might relax and think, this is more familiar ground. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, I've heard about that. In fact, the world agrees with that principle. It's a good moral code, isn't it? Do to others as you would have them do to you. If I'm nice to others, they will be nice to me. If they're nice to me, I will be nice to them. And we can fool ourselves into thinking too positively. Jesus puts us right, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. That's natural, isn't it? If someone's nice to you, you are naturally nice to them. If someone gives you a gift for Christmas, you will probably want to give them a gift for Christmas. If someone writes you a Christmas card, you might scramble to find one and make sure you get one through their door before Christmas Day. But Jesus goes on. Verse 33, if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. No, Jesus is pushing further than be nice to people who are nice to you. Much, much further. Verse 35, he says it again, love your enemies. Love them. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. That is radical, isn't it? That is what we might describe as tough love. Tough to do love. In the face of opposition, in the face of rejection, in the face of being used, love. You know, from what Jesus is saying here, words that shouldn't come out of our mouths. It's mine. Ever said that? Or, it's not fair. Have you ever said that? Or, I hate you. Now, those words might sound childish, and we see them in the playground, don't we? And yet, as adults, we might dress it up in a more sophisticated way, but the same principles can be there. No, says Jesus, love. Why? Why does Jesus call us to behave in this way? Well, he goes on. Verse 35, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. We're called to live this way because it's how God is. It's a family trait. Be merciful, says Jesus, verse 36, just as your Father is merciful. And he is, isn't he? Is God merciful? Why don't we turn to the person next to us and answer that question. Is God merciful? How do you know? Have we said something? Have we pointed somewhere? Have we been able to think of some way in which God has been merciful? Is there a big sign right in front of me here? God is merciful. He's not treated us as our sins deserve, has he? He's been merciful to us. So merciful that he was willing to send his son to die for us, for our sin. Though we were enemies of his, though we rejected him, as Paul says in Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us because God is merciful. We're going to reflect on that more a little bit later on, God's mercy towards us individually. We've come to trust in Jesus. And you know, the more we understand God's mercy to us, the more we take it in, the more it sinks, as somebody said to me this morning, from the head to the heart, which can be a very long way, the more it sinks in, the more we will respond in that way to others. The more we will treat others the way God has treated us, not judging, verse 37, not condemning, but forgiving and giving generously, just as God has given generously to us. You see, Jesus isn't saying here, you need to try harder as a Christian. Here's the standard. That's what you've got to aim for and just go for it in your own strength. No, he's saying, look, this is a family trait. If you know the Father, if you call him Father, because you're in relationship with him, you'll know something of his love for you, his mercy towards you, his generosity towards you. And if you know that, well, then from that position, that's how you will start to respond to others. Just think of how this way of living transforms relationships. In this room, think of the different relationships you've got. Maybe they're within the house that you live in. Maybe they're within the workspaces that you go to. Maybe they're within this church family. Different relationships that we have. This is how we're called to treat one another, as the Father has treated us. So when we want to retaliate, we're called to forgive. When we want to give the silent treatment, we're called to be merciful. When we're tempted to lash out, we're called to be gracious. And knowing the Father, gazing on his mercy towards us, well, then it will shape our responses, perhaps in the workplace or at school or amongst our friends. It will shape the way perhaps we write emails in response or our posts on social media. Out and about, it might shape our response to the traffic warden or the teacher. Gracious. merciful, loving. If you've got a Bible, just turn with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Keep your finger in Luke, because we're going to come back. But Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Hebrews 10 verse 32. The writer to the Hebrews says this to the people that he's writing to. Hebrews 10, 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light. You know, when you first become a Christian, he says to them. When you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Again, that eternal perspective, what we looked at last week, Christians who suffered real persecution but endured, kept going, loved, and they knew where they were heading. Treat others as your heavenly Father treats you. But secondly, Jesus adds this in Luke 6, beware of self-righteousness. You know, when we hear the standard that Jesus calls us to, there's a danger that we'll spot things in one another that we think, no, Jesus calls us to this standard, to love our enemies. It's easy to spot things in others, isn't it? It's really hard to spot things in ourselves. And so in an exaggerated example, Jesus famously speaks of specks of sawdust in our eyes or planks of wood in our eyes. Verse 41 of Luke 6, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? It's a ridiculous illustration, isn't it, Jesus is using, but it's really powerful. Somebody coming up to you, you realise you've got a speck of sawdust in your eye, if you noticed. And you look back at them and they've got a massive plank coming out of their head. They can't see properly. You wouldn't trust them near your eye. What are you doing? And yet we can be like that with each other in our relationships when we spot things where someone else has failed or is doing something wrong. And Jesus warns us, beware self-righteousness. Beware of being hypocritical. Maybe you're a parent, you've got more than one child, and one child got angry and lashed out at their brother, and you pull them aside and you lay into them, because that's not how Jesus wants them to behave. But you're often angrily shouting at your spouse, you hypocrite. Or maybe someone in the 20s group told an inappropriate joke and you pick them up on it. Yeah, it's not right to tell a joke like that. But you're constantly looking at inappropriate material on the internet. You hypocrite. Or maybe you bring up in your growth group that your boss has got a grudge against you and it's so hard at work because they haven't let go that thing that happened a few years ago. But you're still avoiding that person in church who upset you years ago. In fact, you only stay on one side of the church to avoid them still. You hypocrite. Now, Jesus doesn't say we're not to pick up on things with each other. No, but he says we need to do so humbly. We need to recognize that we're going to have stuff wrong with us. We need to deal with that first. before we try and help each other out. And we do need each other's help, don't we? We need each other's help to see our blind spots, because we literally won't see them. We need others' help to get something out of our eye. But how we go about that is really important. Let's not be hypocritical as we do so. Jesus says, first, take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Beware self-righteousness as we seek to treat others as our Heavenly Father has treated us.